Say as we start off, this is a lesson that I am not teaching this as an expert, okay? This is something that we're working on a daily basis for myself. And so our lesson tonight is this, overcoming fear, all right? And I know some of you will be like, you're definitely an expert on fear. That's probably true, all right? But at the same time, the goal is to not live there. The goal is to grow in our Christian life. And so anyway, so this is something that's been a help to me. And so we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. Okay. All right. So let's buckle up. And I do need a few people who would be willing to read. Some of them are a verse and some of them are like two verses. Anybody? All right. Brother Wayne. Okay. Brother Wayne, if you'll look up Acts 4:13. Okay. All right. Somebody else? Yes, sir. Brother Jared. John 19:38. Okay. Somebody else? Okay. Mark 15:43. It is okay if you're a lady, if you'd like to read a verse. Okay. Miss Christina. Okay. Proverbs 28:1. Okay. Brother Steve, did I see your hand? Okay. All right. Let's see here. Go Acts 4:29, and then one more. I got one more volunteer. Ms. Heidi, okay. Ephesians 6:18-20. So 18, 19, 20, okay? All right, that'll get us going for sure. Okay, so Bible's handy for sure, and we'll be turning to a lot of places, but let's start in John 7, all right? If you'll make your way to John 7. One of the greatest hindrances in our Christian life is, I think, this word fear. Fear. Many times we fear the wrong things and don't fear the right things. Okay, obviously we are to fear the Lord. That doesn't mean that we're trembling and we're scared to death that he's going to squash us like a bug, though he could if he wanted to. But that's not the fear that we talk about when it talk about fear the Lord. That's a reverence. That's a respect that we should fear. But many times our problem is that we're not doing what we should do because of I just fear the Lord and I'm still not doing it. But truly, most of the time, it comes from a fear of, let's boil it down to a couple things. Fear of maybe persecution. That could be it. I'm fearful if I do this, I could be mocked or I could be ridiculed, right? Fear of other people, right? We live in fear of people. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, all right? Because you don't have to please me. But anybody a people pleaser, right? All right? Sure. I feel that probably 99.9% of the time, right? What does Mark want? I don't know. What do you want me to say, right? And so there is that. That is a real thing. But that's not where we're supposed to live, okay? So in our lesson tonight, the point is this, is again, overcoming fear. Not living in fear, not living where we're not accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish, but living in light of some truth that'll help us to live confidently in the Lord, okay? That's a very big caveat to it all, that we're living confident in the Lord. Not confidence in ourselves, because that will produce fear. But confidence in the Lord will help us. And so we start off with this. John 7, just one verse, verse 26. The Bible says this, "But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" Now again, I mentioned that this is more of a Bible study, so we're not going to be taking one text, but kind of skipping around a little bit. But here it is, to overcoming fear. Number one is this, we need to adopt the ultimate goal of the Christian life, which is this, to be like Christ. To be like Christ. Here in this verse, "But lo, he speaketh" what? What's that word? Boldly. Jesus spoke boldly. Do you remember when his parents forgot him? Where was he? He was in a synagogue and he was listening and teaching, right? And so when he went into the temple and they were doing all sorts of things, that were not what should be happening. It wasn't a house of prayer. It was a house of merchandise. And he went in there very timidly and fearfully. Okay, if you think that, you didn't read it, right? What did he do? He went in there and he overturned the tables and he said, this is not what's going to take place in my Father's house, right? Okay, so ultimately this, that we have to adopt this, that my goal in life, which according to Scripture, I've been predestined to, that my goal is when I accepted Christ, my goal should be that I'm to live like Christ. That his image should shine through me. And what that does is that will take away the fearfulness. Jesus Christ by no means was no coward. Okay? No coward. Realize that you will never attain Christ's likeness until you obtain boldness. Okay? Here was Christ. Hey, he's speaking boldly. Who does he think he is? Well, he's the Son of God. Okay? And again, that's not some weird thing. It's that ultimately, as we allow Christ to shine through us, there will be boldness. And you'll kind of see that a little bit more as we go through it. But the purest and highest motive in seeking to be a bold witness for the Lord is that in doing so, we would be like Christ. That we would be like Christ. That we're not shying away. I mean, just think of the ministry of Jesus for those few years. When it was people who everybody said, what are you doing talking to them? Right? Well, he would say, I have a divine appointment with that person. The woman at the well. Right? What are you doing talking to her? She's a Samaritan. She's a wicked woman. He's like, well, she's thirsty and she needs the water. Right? Him. Okay, so over and over and over again, there was a confidence. Jesus was not living fearfully. He was living in confidence. And so that's where that will help us. If we'll just adopt this goal, I want to live like Christ. Okay, number two is this. If we're going to overcome fear, we got to spend time every day studying Jesus. What did he do? What did he say? How did he handle things, right? That's one of the reasons why he came. Of course, salvation is why he came. But he also came as an example to us that we could learn from, okay? So Acts 4:13, who had that? Okay, go ahead. There you go. These guys, they're not very smart. I can tell you this much, they've been with Jesus. And they were able to then, the first part of the verse, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. How did they have that boldness? They spent time with Christ. They spent time with him. So the more that we learn from Christ, the more that we study him, the more bold we can be in our witness and in our living. Okay? Examine everything Jesus did. Again, listen to everything he said. Ask questions. Why did he say that? Who was he addressing? What was he trying to teach them? And take notes of that. And so we see then that's our example. That's who we're supposed to be living after. Again, what is Christian? Little Christ. That was the derogatory term given to believers who are like, I follow Christ. Well, you're just trying to live like him. Well, duh. Right? That's the goal. That's the goal. And so our goal is to be like Christ, but that means we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to study. We're going to need to take time. You will learn more about boldness by studying the life of Christ than anything else that we can do. Like Peter and John, soon people noticed a difference in them because they spent time with Christ. There's something different about you. Yep. You spent time with Jesus. Okay? And so we got to spend time on a daily basis. Some of the reasons why I'm having fearfulness in living for Christ is because I'm not very confident in who he is. So how do I do that? Well, I learn. He gave us his word. Okay? So we're taking time on a daily basis to study the life of Christ, which will ultimately result in overcoming fear because I'm living in his power and his strength. Okay? Number three, here's something that can help us, that we should read often, or we should think of often, the accounts of the crucifixion. Now, how will that help us? Okay, well, let's look at it this way. Now, we've kind of, over the last couple weeks, we've talked a lot about Joseph of Arimathea, but let's look at it again just for a second. John 19:38. Who had that one? Okay, go ahead. Okay, now let me just remind you, now this is very dangerous, because I'm going to talk about grammar for a second, okay? This is uncharted territory for myself, okay? Now I do understand commas, okay? So our second verse, when we'll read it in just a second, Mark 15:43, we'll read it in just a second. But in our verse here, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. The commas there, it's a description of Joseph of Arimathea. You remember, he was a secret disciple, right? We heard about that. Okay, it's a description of him because, and I say that on purpose, because Mark 15:43, who's got that one? Okay. Well, that's a contradiction. No. There's no contradiction here. Okay? The point is that at one time, Joseph of Arimathea was the secret disciple. And adding that word was is a big difference. He was a secret disciple. So when it talks about the description, but secretly for fear of the Jews. So in John, he's fearful, supposedly. But in Mark 15, he's boldly. So what's the difference? Can I tell you this? The description of Joseph of Arimathea being fearful and a secret disciple, that was previous to what major event? The crucifixion. The crucifixion. Okay? He chose to live out his faith quietly and privately because he was afraid of the repercussions that might come from the Jews. But now when the crucifixion took place, now he's going before Pilate boldly. Boldly. He's not going in saying like, okay, secretly, I'll take care of Jesus if you'll let me. No, he's coming in boldly. So what are you saying here? Listen, he watched the Son of God die on the cross. And after watching what Jesus was willing to suffer on Calvary for him, he could no longer use any more excuses. If we'll take time to go to the foot of the cross and remember what Jesus went through for us, that he was willing to die, the Son of God. And we're not talking about just dying. We're talking about brutally murdered for us. He was willing to do that for us. And that'll give us some confidence. That'll give us some encouragement to say, if God was willing to do that for me, shouldn't I be willing to tell somebody about Christ for him? Shouldn't I be willing to say, hey, you make fun of me? That's fine. He died for me on the cross. And that'll help me not live in fear. Because I'm not fearing what that person will say in a healthy fear, in a healthy respect. I'm more concerned with what the man that was on the cross than what you're going to say. That'll help us be bold in our witness. Why, man? Because God was willing to send his only begotten son to be brutally murdered so that I could be saved. And that's where living in light of Christ and his power, and what do I have to fear? Why am I going to be so bothered? As some guy looks at me and says, oh, you a Bible thumper? Oh, sticks and stones may break my bones. Right? which that's not true anyways. Okay, but really, if we'll go to the foot of the cross and be reminded of what Jesus went through so that I could be saved, there's nothing other. There should be nothing greater than my desire to say, if he was willing to do that for me, I should be willing to tell somebody else about him. So it'll help us, okay? So help us. Make yourself an eyewitness to what transpired on Golgotha's hill, and do it often, watching the courage with which Jesus gave his life for us. And you cannot help but receive courage and to be willing to give our life for him. I always think of this. From what I'm told, there used to be the Salvation Army and their bell ringing at the holidays. I'm not old enough, but I understand that what they started off with was actually just a wash tub. So in some in front of the stores, there would be somebody, they'd be ringing the bell, and right there would just be a wash tub, right? You see that I could see that's probably how it used to be, and now it's lock and key, right? That's our world for sure. But ultimately, and the Salvation Army, when they began, was their goal was to reach the world with Christ. That was really what it started off as, an organization to reach people with the gospel. And so I heard tell that there was actually one Christmas that they would have a sign, and it'd be right here, and the sign said, "Jesus gave his life for all, for you. What will you give him?" And there was a wash tub in there, and a guy walked by, and he read the sign, "Jesus gave his life for you. What will you give for him?" Took out all the spare change in his pocket and he threw it in. And he walked by and he stopped again. And he just couldn't get it out of his mind. "Jesus gave his life for you. What will you give for him?" And he went back and he took out his wallet and just emptied it. "Man, Jesus gave his life for me." And sure, he gave it. Turned and walked away and he stopped again. He said, "I can't get this out of my mind. Jesus gave his life for you. What will you give for him?" And he walked right over and he just stepped into the wash tub and he said, "All I got's me. I'll just give you me." When we stop to think of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, it's just reasonable service. That's what the book says. Just reasonable service for me to give my life for him. And so because he was willing to do that, it'll help me. It'll help me overcome fear when I'm being reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made. Okay, number four, Proverbs 28:1. Was that, Miss Christina, was that you? Okay, Proverbs 28:1. All right, so number four is this. Purge your life of sinful and wicked habits. That'll help us overcome fear. Okay. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know why? I know what I did, right? You know why a bank robber never finds a police officer? Because he ain't looking, right? He ain't looking for one. No way, right? Okay? But here's what happens. When we live a life where sin and wickedness abounds in our life, let me just tell you. You will live in fear. You'll live in fear. I'm afraid they're going to find out. I can't tell somebody about Christ, man. They might find out about what I'm doing in my own personal life. And you will cower in fear because of the guilt and the sinfulness that we're holding in our hearts and in our lives. Okay? So one of the ways of overcoming fear is to make sure that we purge our life of sinful and wicked habits. Okay? Unconfessed, habitual sin will make any Christian a coward. It'll do it. I can't tell about Christ because I know what I'm doing. Okay? Here's a really good illustration. When we take the Lord's Supper, it's a time of examination, right? A time for let a man examine himself. So Pastor announces, I think, let's see here, Easter, so it'd be about Thanksgiving when we do it again. And so pastor says, hey, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper, and we should take time to prepare ourselves, right? Okay, and so maybe some sin is in our lives, and we're not really willing to get rid of it. And so we come and we say, man, I just can't take the Lord's Supper because I got sin in my life and I just can't, okay? And there might be a time for that. But can I just remind you that that time of examination isn't that you examine yourself and live in guilt and shame. It's a time to examine ourselves so we can fix it. That's a big difference, okay? So we can fix it. So somebody says, man, I'm just unworthy to take the Lord's Supper. Welcome to the club, bud. None of us are worthy of it, okay? But the goal is this, that we take a special time and we say, Lord, will you show me the things in my life that I need to get right so I can take the Lord's Supper when it comes down to it, right? So it's a time. It's not, well, I just never can take it. That's not the goal. The goal is to say, Lord, you know, I'm holding on to this sin. Maybe nobody else knows about it, but I'm holding on to it. And you're not going to be the witness that you should be. You're not going to be living for Christ like you should be. You're going to be living in fear. Okay? So that will help us overcome fear of making sure. What was it? A clear conscience is a Christmas every day. Right? A clear conscience is a Christmas every day. And there's something to that. Okay? So how do we do that? Well, don't be a stranger to the altar. We take time after services. We take time, and it's a perfect opportunity for us to come and make sure, Lord, you know that I've been dealing with this. Here we are. Can I just remind you, a just man falls 7 times, but rises again. The victory is found in the battle that you're battling. Okay, the problem is, many times we're just living in it. Well, I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I shouldn't be saying this. Well, bless God, I've just been that way my whole life. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. We can live in victory. Okay? And so stay right with God. Let me just throw this in here. Pastor and I were talking about this recently. Oh, actually today, I think. And that is this. You know that God is not asking of perfection from you? Because he knows you can't do it. He already knows that. Okay? He made you. He saved you. Okay? He knows it's not perfection. Okay? We will be made perfect when our eyes close in death here, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We will be made perfect there. Okay? But the goal is that we continue to fight sin, that we continue to fight to keep a right relationship with Christ. And so we stay right with God. To the young people, I always would say this, man, you need to stay right with your parents. Stay right with your parents. Okay? Have a right relationship. Stay right with those around you. If we'll keep a right relationship with Christ, it'll be a whole lot easier for us to keep a right relationship with others. When this is right, this will be much easier. Okay? It'll be right. Okay? So confession provides us with forgiveness and cleansing. It also provides us with the courage of a lion, right? That was the verse, okay? But the righteous is bold as a lion. We will overcome fear by making sure we're dealing with the sin in our lives and getting it out. Sin, you can take a hike, okay? Need to be fighting, okay? Number 5, okay? Here's something, Acts 4:29. Who's Acts 4:29? Okay, so number 5 is this, pray for the ability to speak the word of God with boldness. Pray for it. You know what should be at the top of every person's personal prayer list? It's for boldness. For boldness. God, I'm praying for courage. All right, well, here it is. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, if we're doing the Christian life right, there'll be some adversity. There'll be some battles. Okay, that doesn't mean that you're going to sword fight with your neighbor. Okay, all right. Sometimes it does mean you want to throw a punch a coworker. Okay, but we're battling it. We're not giving in to it, right? Okay, all right. But ultimately, here is the deal. That we're asking God for courage, for boldness. We have not because we ask not. Lord, I don't want to live in fear. Okay? Well, are you asking for courage? Are you asking for boldness? So that we should be praying for the ability. So you should pray for it on a daily basis. Lord, thank you for another day of life. Will you give me the boldness and the courage to take a stand for you wherever it shows up today? Lord, please give me the courage. Okay? Now, so we're talking about we pray for it. But now here, Miss Heidi, Ephesians 6, 18, 19, and 20. Okay, so number five is that I'm praying for it. And number six is this, I'm asking others to pray for me for it. Okay? So enlist prayer warriors. Ask them to pray specifically for you to be a bold witness for Christ. That's what's happening here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications, here it is, for all saints. You know, we should be praying for each other as a church. I should be praying, Lord, will you give our pastor the boldness to stand for you today? But it doesn't stop there. Lord, I'm praying for Brother Bo. He'll have the courage to stand up for you today. I'm praying for everybody. Okay? So while you're praying for it for yourself, Lord, will you grant me the courage? Ask some close people. Say, will you pray for me? I've been fighting, that I've been living in fear. I haven't been the witness I should be. I haven't been living for Christ like I should be. Will you pray for me that I'll have the courage and I'll have the boldness to stand for Christ? And that'll be a help. Paul enlisted the church at Ephesus to pray for him concerning this area of his life. In addition to praying for boldness yourself, seek the prayer support of the people around you. I just tell you, and if somebody comes up to us and says, hey, will you pray for me that I'll have boldness for Christ? And don't let that prayer go unprayed. And I'm praying for you, right? And that happens. I've heard many times. I've heard many testimonies of people who are like, man, I just haven't been doing what I should be. Will you pray for me about that? Oh, amen. Yeah, I'd be glad to. Glad to. But also don't forget, pray for it for yourself as well. Okay? I'm not asking somebody else to do something that I'm not willing to do for myself. Okay? And that'll help us overcome fear. Now, I told you, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Number seven, we're going to 12. Okay? I know. 12. Wow. When you have 12 points in a message, here's the goal. You ready? Just that something will help. Truthfully. I'm not expecting next Sunday night, well, Linda, what 12 points did I have at the sermon on Wednesday night? Now, because I'll be like, I don't remember all 12. Okay? But truly, here's the goal. Just latch on to something. Okay? The Holy Spirit will help you to apply what He wants you to work on right now. Okay? Number seven. Okay? Here it is. Seek constantly to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Acts 4:31. I'll read this way. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, let me read this, because I thought it was very good, and it's very clear and concise. Because when we're talking about the book of Acts, it is a transitional book. Okay? All right, so some of the things that they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come down. Okay? They're waiting for it. We have it. He's here. Okay? So it is a bit of a transitional. But in Acts 1:8, Jesus reminded his disciples that they would receive power to be witnesses. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay? Before they were to go forth and fulfill the Great Commission, they were commanded to tarry at Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Okay? Now that's what that was talking about. Now in our life, now I know I've grown up in church my whole life, and that everybody says, well, you just need to be filled with the Spirit. I agree. What are you talking about, man? Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's like, you need to be filled with the Spirit. What does that look like? Right? Okay. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is not receiving the Holy Spirit. Okay? The moment you got saved, you got all you're going to get. Okay? That's terrible grammar, but it's pretty good preaching. All right? You got all you're going to get. Okay? So, it's not receiving the Holy Spirit. That happens when you're saved, nor getting more of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's not like, well, you get a little dose of it when you get saved. Then when you get dunked in the baptismal, you get a little more, right? No. Okay, well, and then you kind of, well, in some places, then all of a sudden you start blabbing weird stuff. Oh, you got a little bit more there. No, that's not what we're talking about. Okay, not at all. Nor getting more of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a gas or a liquid. Okay, he's a person. Okay, so it is him getting more of me. I got all I'm going to get of him when I got saved. But truth be told, he doesn't always have all of me. Okay, so when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, okay, think about your garage. For some, you call it the danger zone. No, all right? So you have a garage, okay, and you buy the house and you're saying, praise God, I'm going to park both of my vehicles in this garage from this day forth. And then that little thing called life happens. And now all of a sudden I got a tricycle, I got to figure out where to put it. Right? It gets crowded. Right? Okay. So if you think about this, again, it's not a perfect example, but it kind of helps us. Okay? Let's just pretend that the Holy Spirit moves into your garage. Okay? And you're saying, man, well, you're the Holy Spirit. Man, I got to clean this junk out of here. He's there. But what you start seeing is, oh, man, I got a whole bunch of Amazon boxes that don't need to be in the garage. So what do? You get rid of it so there's more room for him. And that's what we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get more of him. You got all of him. Okay? But he needs to get more of you. Where you're saying, Lord, I've been hanging on to this, but this needs to go so I have more room for you, okay? And so being filled with the Holy Spirit is ultimately, it's him getting all of you full surrender to his leading and his direction. And boldness is a natural byproduct of the fullness of the Holy Ghost. When he moves in, he's got full control of me. And he says this, Mark, you tell that cashier about me. Yes, sir. Mark, you speak kindly to your coworkers. Yes, sir. Okay? And that is what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And our goal is to be filled with the Holy Spirit because then my confidence is not in me, my confidence is in him. So it's a lot easier. Growing up, there would be certain times. My dad was not, let's see. How do I say this? My dad liked to embarrass the dog out of us, okay? It was common, all right? In an illustration, in a message, I don't know, I've been a sheep, I've been a donkey, I've had to crawl on all four. I've had to jump off stuff. I had to, one time during the message, I had to go out into the parking lot, get a whole bucket of rocks, and bring it in. And he said, now throw it on the floor. Okay. I don't know what I'm doing. But can I just tell you, when I was acting in and of myself and just going out on a limb, there was a lot of fear and trembling. But when my dad told me to do it, it's like, well, you can think I'm dumb, but my dad told me to do it. So get mad at him. You see what I'm saying? Okay, when we're acting, when the Holy Spirit has control of us, there's nothing to fear. Why? Because I'm just obeying God. I'm just doing what he wants me to do. Okay? All right, number 8. Increase your Bible knowledge by a personal study and careful attention to Bible teaching and preaching. Let me read this real quick. A portion of Acts 18, 24 through 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus in a little bit, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Many times the reason why we're not a good witness for Christ, the reason why we're living in fear, is because we don't know what the book says. Maybe you've heard somebody say this. I'd tell them about Christ, but what if they ask me a question I don't know? Again, welcome to the club. Right? One time I prayed with a kid, and they were like, hey, will you pray with me? Sure, I'd be glad to. What do you want to pray about? My bird died. Will you pray with me about that? I don't think we pray for birds. I don't remember that scripture. Sure, right? Okay, now, that is so silly. You're like, that's dumb. Yeah, okay, but I've been asked some doozies. You know, and you're just standing there and you're like, number one, where'd you come up with this? And number two, I have no clue. I have no idea, okay? But here's the truth. The more we know the scripture, the more we'll be ready to give an answer, okay? So sometimes my fear is because I don't know the scripture. Well, here's the fix. Don't just stop telling people about Christ. Learn the scriptures, okay? So I learn it so that way I can speak boldly. Bible knowledge brings with it a certain amount of confidence. The more I know about the scripture, the more it'll help me to be confident and not live in fear, okay? All right, number 9. Here's something. Read biographies of courageous Christians. This will help us. Okay, this will help us. Philippians 1:14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know what the Apostle Paul experienced many times? Bonds. Prison, right? It was always like, Paul, he's coming to town. What's he going to check out? Well, he's going to check out what's the prison like? Because that's where he's going to end up, right? Okay. So what happened, though, is this, that while he was in his bonds, others were encouraged. Wow, if Paul's doing that, man, that encourages me. That gives me courage to live out as well. Stories of the Apostle Paul's courage, it spreads throughout Christendom. His willingness to suffer imprisonment and, if necessary, death gave others the boldness they needed to speak out for Christ. Christian history is filled with many brave men and women whose stories will inspire and challenge you. And let me just tell you this. Now, this is going to be kind of harsh, okay? In order for us to read a book or to read a biography, we are going to have to turn off the TV, the phone, the iPad, or the gaming system in order to do that. So that's the harsh, okay? All right? But it's worth doing because it'll help us to be bold in our faith. I brought a few books here, and these are, it really is just as an illustration. You say, I don't read. Well, that's great. We should, okay? And sometimes the reason why we don't read is because we haven't figured out what we like, what interests us, right? There are certain books. Brinley, we were talking about it. She's reading Sarah Plain and Tall. I don't mind watching the movie, but I ain't reading that book. Okay? Not going to do it. Pride and Prejudice? I ain't reading that one. No. Mm-mm. All right? Autobiography of Chris Kyle, American Sniper? I'm interested. Okay? So sometimes the reason why we don't know is because we haven't figured out what we like or something like that. Okay? So here's the point. And also the other point is this. There's a lot out there. Okay? Now, not all of it's good. You've got to be careful. Okay? Corrie Ten Boom, when the Southland group was here, the song she sang, right? Corrie Ten Boom. Okay? The autobiography of George Mueller. Fantastic read. Fantastic. I'm just so quick because we're out of time almost. All right? Mr. World and Miss Church Member It's just like Pilgrim's Progress. If you've ever read that, Pilgrim's Progress is this. It's a story of fictional characters that really show us what the Christian life is all about. Okay, so it's kind of a parody. So Christian, he's a warrior, but he goes through life, right? And so he finds all these people, okay, and these cities. And it's the city of temptation. Oh, wow. Okay, so he overcomes it and things of that nature. Okay, so that's good. All right, Life of David Livingston, the Life and Diary of David Brainerd, Adoniram Judson, In the Real Lives of Missionaries, 1 and 2, The Bible Makes Us Baptist, Dying Testimonies of the Saved and the Unsaved, Compendium of Baptist History, Trials and Sufferings from the Religious Liberty in New England, Memorials of Baptist Martyrs, The Cross and Crown, Mary Bunyan, Baptists on the American Frontier, American in Crimson Red, and that's all I can carry. Okay? That's why I stopped right there. But here's what happens. American in Crimson Red. There's a story in here of a Baptist preacher who was on his way to church in the American Frontier. He was on his way to church, and because he was going over his message, his family would walk to church. It was 6 or 7 miles to church. And they would walk to church, okay? And so the family would just start out ahead, and he'd kind of drag behind so he could go over his message while he was walking, okay? On his way to church, his family gets slaughtered by a group of Indians. And literally, I'm talking scalped, beheaded, left for dead. And ultimately, his testimony was this. After he buried his family, he went to the church and he preached the gospel. I've never been called to face that, and I hope I never do. But to see the testimony of somebody else, it gives me courage. It gives me courage. So again, we spend most of our time in the Bible. But it is good to visit other books, sometimes good ones. Okay? All right? So we read biographies of courageous Christians. I'm just going to mention this and we'll be done. Spend as much time as possible around bold Christians. Okay? If you want to be one, hang out with one. Quote here, show me your friends today, and I'll show you what your tomorrow looks like. It's true. And if you're having a hard time with living in fear, man, don't hang out with a whole bunch of fearful people. It's like this, hey, misery loves company. Come and join. Okay? All right? And so ultimately, sometimes we might need to separate ourselves from people who aren't helping us spiritually. And I'm living in fear because I'm hanging out with a bunch of people I shouldn't be hanging out with. Okay? You will become who you hang out with. Everybody always says this. Well, they were just hanging out with the wrong crowd. Well, I'm sure it was your mom who was saying that. But truth be told is, you is the wrong crowd. Well, everybody else's kids, they're wicked heathens, but mine is an angel. That's not true. Okay? Your kid's in the mix. Okay? But the truth is spend as much time as possible around bold Christians. Spend that time. And we could, Paul and Barnabas, right? Different ones. Then when Saul, certain days with his disciples, were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Here's what happened when Saul got saved. He spent some time with some other disciples, and when he left that time, you know what he did? He just started preaching boldly. Right from the get-go. Spend time with people who will encourage you to be bold about your faith. Number 11, make a conscious decision to refuse to live your life in fear. Sometimes you just got to stop. Right? I don't know if you've seen that skit or not. I think it was Bob Newhart. You know, and the guy comes in and he's a psychologist and he says, man, I'm just having so much trouble with this. And the guy looks at him and says, well, stop it. Oh, okay, but I'm having trouble with this. You know, I'm really having trouble with cussing. Oh, good, stop it. Well, I'm having trouble with this. Okay, stop that too. At some point, here's the truth, and I got to look in the stinking mirror so many times and say this to myself. Sometimes you just have to stop living in fear. all the 10 other things that'll help us to get here. You notice we didn't start with this one? But the truth be told is sometimes you have to decide, I'm not living here anymore. I'm not living in fear. I'm going to live in the strength of Christ. And you got to decide, okay? At some point, now I know this is a little bit harsh, but at some point you got to grow a backbone. Generational curses are extremely hard to break, but are worth it. Well, you know, I grew up in a drunk home. Okay. You decide, my house is not going to be that. Now, again, the confidence comes from me relying on the Lord. But I got to decide. Number 12, everybody's favorite. Last point. Let your love grow up. Now, what does that mean? 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, what does that mean? Here's the truth. Immature love focuses on self and things. When we first got married, truth be told, I loved Linda for what she could do for me. She could cook pretty good sometimes. She could clean the house. Man, I loved her because she did the laundry. Man, it was awesome. You know what all that was focused on? This guy. Okay? But as we grow and as we mature, and that's what it is, perfect love. Okay? Perfect or mature love focuses on Christ and others. Okay? I'll just read this real quick. Peter, in less than 8 short weeks, went from being a coward and denying Christ to the day of Pentecost when he preached boldly and 3,000 people got saved. What happened between there? Ready? John 21. Well, what happened in John 21? That's when Jesus said this. Do you love me? You know that I love you. Now, lovest thou me more than these? Those fish that were there, maybe? Lovest thou me more than these? Well, you know. No, lovest thou me, lovest thou me. Okay? The turning point happened on a sandy beach where a simple question was asked of him 3 times. Do you love me? Let your love grow up. I want to live not in fear. I want to live in courage. And here's the question. Jesus asked, do you love me? When that lady asked me to do anything, I love her. I'll try. Why? Because I love her. I'll try. Jesus said this, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Do we love Christ? Lord, you know I love you. Okay. And tell them about me. And we're doing it out of a heart of love. Of perfect love. Of mature love. The answer to that question. Answer that question and you'll find out whether you'll spend your life getting harsh as a coward or as a bold witness for Christ. Man, where did you get that boldness? I just love the Lord. I want to do what he wants me to do. And fear, truthfully, has no place in the Christian's life. And I have to get that through this thick thing up here. I'm living in fear on a daily basis. And there's no reason. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can live with victory, with courage, with boldness. And our life does not have to be categorized by this. Man, they're a fearful person. They're too scared to tell somebody about Christ. They're too scared to take a stand. And I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to live for the Lord. And he's done so much for me. And as I mentioned, and one of the things about the revival that hit me was just like, he's holding this whole thing together. What are you fearful for? I don't know. Okay, well, that's true in my life. But Mark Rice, you got to do something about it. Don't live there. It's time to pick up and move. Do what God wants us to do. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And God, if this lesson was just for me, God, I thank you for it. God, I pray that you'd help us to not live in fear. Help us to live in victory.